Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torty Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torty Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torty Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can beat your master tip.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torty Show.
Yes, it is. What's going on, Philadelphia? Joe Torty here with you, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hot on the heels of a big home win for the boys. Flyers with the big victory over the Columbus Blue Jackets, both in terms of its importance and also in terms of the actual score. A 5-1 win as the Flyers move out of wild card territory, at least for now. Columbus slides into that second wild card spot with the loss. The Islanders down there as well, tied up at 72 points. Of course, the Islanders are 3 games in hand on Columbus and 2 on Philadelphia. But with 73 points, the Flyers now in that third spot in the Metropolitan Division. And currently, if the season were to end today, which obviously it's not, but if it did, they would be facing off against the Washington Capitals in the first round of the playoffs. So pretty fantastic stuff by the Flyers, good performance overall, and in this one in particular, you did see a little bit of everything, right? Phil Myers being able to get on the board, Sean Couturier, Travis Konechny, Jake Voracek, Claude Giroux doing things as well in terms of dishing it out, winning faceoffs, etc. You got a little bit of everything from everyone. 6 straight loss for Columbus. And Konechny as a 3-point night to take care of business, even though they only had 15 shots, which is kind of saying something. When you only have 15 shots, you're scoring all those goals. That's how you know that a goalie's likely getting chased at some point during that stretch there. But Kevin Hayes gave the team the 1-0 lead in the first period, like 3.5 minutes in, and that kind of set the tone for the entire game. Good to see the Flyers strong against a Metropolitan Division opponent. And it looks like that Metro's heating up with Pittsburgh on the march. And obviously, you can never count out the Washington Capitals by any stretch. It would be good for the Flyers to continue to stay out of that wild card situation now that they are back into the top 3 in the division. Hopefully, they'll be able to do that because obviously the implications of having to play one of the top 2 seeds is way different than potentially going to a 2-3 matchup, no matter what it is or who is at home. Either way, big win for the Flyers. Congratulations, and if you were at the game, you were watching, you were taking it in, you're welcome aboard right now. 610-632-0975. My name is Joe Torty. Dylan McKinnon is producing. We're hanging out together until midnight here on The Fanatic. And there's lots of stuff to get to. I know that a lot of the conversation today has been surrounding 2 kind of main topics, right? One of them is the Philadelphia 76ers return from the All-Star breaks. Return from the All-Star break, that is, and the game coming up against the Nets. Obviously, in a couple of days, Kyrie Irving is aggravated his right shoulder, supposedly, so he might not be able to go in a big game there. You know, what does it look like in extended time with Al Horford coming off of the bench rather than being in the starting lineup? All that kind of stuff. And we'll get to that at some point here tonight, tomorrow. We'll get to that. Then, of course, there's the Houston Astros. And I've got to say, I don't know if I have any more yelling to do on that. Got pretty emotional yesterday regarding the Astros and Major League Baseball and what the league should do, what teams should do, what Rob Manfred should have done, that sort of thing, right? We covered a lot of that ground yesterday. But to recap, just in case you missed the show yesterday, want to catch up, I had thoughts on individual punishments. I had thoughts on team punishments. I had thoughts on which way you should go if you are an opposing team. So just to summarize, if there are 3 years in question, 2017, 2018, 2019, in which people are accusing the Houston Astros of using this pretty sophisticated sign-stealing video relay technology, you know, super high-tech until you get to the trash can part. Three seasons of that. As far as I'm concerned, that means three seasons of consequences for the team and three seasons of consequences for all of the players on the roster during those years. So, no All-Star game appearances or voting for any of the players that were on the roster during any of those 3 years for the next 3 years, right? So, I feel like from a contract incentive perspective and from a glory perspective, that sort of thing, that's a stiff enough punishment, right? And also from a perspective of punishing the team, I'm not a big fan of the idea of banning them from the postseason. I'm not a big fan of anything like that. And here's why. Because if you did that, you're not, one, making them play, right? So they're not stretching out pitchers at the end of the season. They're not doing their call-ups and potentially losing years of team control for players and stuff like that, right? So it's not really a punishment to make them sit back and just kind of wait it out. Instead, I say that they can make the playoffs, but they don't get to host a single playoff game. That all of their playoff games are on the road during that time, right? That way you go straight at the owner's pocket. Obviously, the home and road splits were pretty significant during the cheating scandal with those two guys. The one that sticks out to me, and there are others, like Jose Altuve's batting average got cut in half. Same with Carlos Correa's. But my favorite one is Brian McCann hitting 300 at home and 037 on the road. That one was super exciting for me to discover. But that's my perspective there. Now, what do you do if you are one of the other players? And I've said this before, if you play with somebody in a card game or a sport or whatever it is, and they cheat, a lot of times my response is like, that I'm not playing with that person again. If there are no punishments doled out, there are 30 other teams that should be talking about it and saying, well, you know what, we're going to not play the Astros every single time they come out. So the Astros go 162-0, and the commissioner and the league have to address why it is that the Astros went 162-0, and why the most winning team in the history of baseball has such a negative stigma attached to it, right? Rob Manfred's already ruined this. I talked about this yesterday, too. This will be kind of my last word on it, unless you know you want to get in on the conversation, 610-632-0975. The problem that I have is that Rob Manfred operated from a total position of weakness when he really didn't have to. So if players are coming to you and saying, or however it goes, if you're interviewing players, whatever, however you get into the room with them, and the conversation starts out with, I'll tell you what you need to know, but I need to have total immunity from any kind of punishment. If you'd tried to do that in a cheating scandal in high school or in college or anything like that, and you tried to like lay out those ground rules to your professor or to your teacher or to your dean or whatever, that is the most ridiculous idea of all time.
I would say no.
Exactly. Robert Manfred's approach should have been, all right, thanks for coming in. By the way, just so you know, you're all suspended forever. Like, you all have like the Pete Rose treatment, like banned from baseball forever. The Astros are going to have like a $30 million fine, and you just go as far as you could possibly go, CBA be damned, and then you have wiggle room to walk back towards, you know, all right, well, if you cooperate, this can get a lot easier for you and you don't have to do this. But to start out with immunity, you're totally neutered in this whole thing and you look awful. Now, the one thing I'll say is that Manfred has enough power to say, hey, I messed this up. And upon further review, I really didn't do this the right way. I'm going to try another crack at it. I don't think that that will happen, but I would have more respect for the guy if he were to recognize, hey, I didn't handle this the right way. I'm going to handle this the right way now. Better late than never, as far as I'm concerned. And the problem that I have with it now is that there's no way to negotiate. The players are already immune. There's no way to negotiate that away unless you're literally tearing up, you know, the paper that the contract's written on or whatever. Now, people will say, hey, if he tries to go all the way, scorched earth, kick everybody out of the league and like ban the team from the postseason and all that other kind of stuff, well, you know, the players union will get involved. Okay, if I'm Robert Manfred, I'm comfortable putting the players union in the position where they have to decide whether they're going to defend a team of literal cheaters or all of the other players in Major League Baseball who were on the receiving end, who maybe lost jobs, maybe lost paychecks, maybe lost positions on the team, all that other kind of stuff because the Astros were cheating. I'm okay with people thinking that I'm a tyrant if I'm Robert Manfred at this point, right? If I'm the commissioner of Major League Baseball and I'm pushing everything to the nth degree and the players union's going to decide, hey, you know what? We're going to go to bat on behalf of the Astros. Okay. I think that you win that public opinion battle when the players union's backing the Astros. But it was a total botch job from the very beginning. It's been an embarrassment to watch play out. And I don't know if there is repairing it. I don't know if this is the guy to repair it. But that's my takeaway on the whole situation at the moment. You have to decide whether it's a big deal. If it is a big deal, you have to punish people. And if not, we have to start talking to people and saying teams and saying, well, you know what? This is the new norm. You've got to do a better job of protecting your signals, relaying better, whatever it is. What's up, D-Train?
I'm more annoyed with Manfred than I am with the Astros at this point. I mean, the Astros cheated. And I mean, they should have been punished more, but Manfred's the one who's made this a big deal by doing pretty much nothing.
Right.
He suspended two managers and the manager GM, they got fired anyway, so it doesn't affect them. Takes away a draft pick, that doesn't affect them. No one, draft picks don't have much value in the MLB. And then, what, $5 million? That's nothing to a major league team.
Right. The max allowed by the CBA for, you know, a billion-dollar operation. Draft picks that are going to be, you know, closer to the end of the first round the next couple of years here. Nothing for the international pool. That did not make it more difficult for them at all to bring in international players to fill in the gaps in their roster, that sort of thing. It was just a total botch job from the very beginning.
Now you're seeing a lot of players go after Manfred even more than they're going after the Astros player. I mean, you saw Bauer call him incompetent. You saw Turner call him incompetent. Bellinger basically said he's incompetent.
Yep.
And he is incompetent.
Well, I mean, you look at it, and the way that he's handled it has been just utterly toothless. And, you know, people really don't like this guy, but it's not even close. The most powerful commissioner in all of sports is Roger Goodell. Like, there's not even a close second. And it started that way because he, from day one, was like, I'm in charge of what you do on the field. I'm in charge of what you do off the field. I'm in charge of your legal status. I'm in charge of like just personal conduct, even if there's no criminal criminal reports or anything like that, right? He starts out all the way over there. And then the players push back and they're like, well, this is like a kind of tyrant operation. And you work your way back from the very, very edges of taking over everything. That's how you establish power as a commissioner. When the first thing that happens is the players get immunity in exchange for information about what people are already talking about, that is the most beta way that you could possibly approach this. And it's why like you said, D-Train, it's not necessarily that you're excusing the Astros for cheating, because I think a lot of people are very frustrated. Mike Trout was super frustrated by it and everything else. But when you're watching Justin Turner and you're watching these other guys talking about, you know, Rob Manfred's embarrassment that the commissioner's name's on the trophy, says that it's just a piece of metal, it doesn't matter, all that other kind of stuff, it is just a total 100% credibility erosion that's happening at the highest levels of Major League Baseball.
And the other day, I feel like he's criticized the reporters who broke this story more than he has the Astros. Criticized the reporter who broke it the other day, basically saying, oh, congrats, you broke the story, you got it out there.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a story, man. It's,
It kind of seems to me like Manfred wanted to cover this up, and he only ended up having to punish them because it got out.
Well, I mean, that is the cover up is always the thing that you pay attention to in these situations, right? This is a new statement from Rob Manfred, where he was talking about it, and I haven't thought of this one a whole lot because of all of the other things that he said on Tuesday, but or today rather. Compared to the other scandals in baseball history, somebody asked him, why do you think the outcry for this one has been arguably the largest? This is what he says. He says, I think that part of it is the way society has evolved. It's a very different world than 1919, and I think more fundamentally this activity relates to the play of the game on the field in a way that's tangible for our fans and has touched a chord of unfairness with our players. It's made it a really big story, and it is a big story. We understand that. We understand it's a serious issue, and we're really committed to doing everything we can to restore the faith and the integrity of the play of the game on the field. Now, the problem is that last sentence that they're committed to doing everything they can to restore faith in the integrity of the play of the game on the field. I'm sorry. If you are a team that's almost there, I'm not saying every team can do this, but if you're a team that's almost there and it costs you $5 million and 2 first-round draft picks and you can steal people's signs and relay them to the dugout and like have hitters know literally exactly the pitch that's coming, that is well worth it. And with no ban hammer coming down, with no significant discipline coming down for it, hard for me to say that the integrity and the faith in the integrity of the game has been restored at all, even a little bit. P. Arch tweets in, the Astros player should have to visit retired nuns who taught at Catholic schools in each city, and they visit rulers across the knuckles. There you go. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. So there you go. That was the Major League Baseball brouhaha. And for those who listened to the show yesterday, there you go. We condensed everything into, 14 minutes. You're welcome. So here's the other thing that I wanted to get to here, because it would have been, like I said, the biggest story had this stuff not happened with the Houston Astros. Nigel Bradham got released today for the Eagles. And
you won't see him no more.
You sure won't. That's exactly right. 30 years old, was informed on Tuesday afternoon. That gives the Eagles an additional $4.5 million in salary cap room. They've got about $45 million in cap space. They enter free agency. He was scheduled to make $8 million in 2020. There was never a prayer that Nigel Bradham was going to be around to make $8 million in 2020. That was just never going to happen. And especially considering that he got injured and was banged up, slowed down this year. So, just off the top of my head, and I'm assuming that Malcolm Jenkins is back, and that is a big assumption. So, just for the sake of this, that's what we're laying out there, right? Defensively for the Eagles, I know everybody wants them to draft wide receivers, but defensively, you're potentially looking at replacing both starting outside corners and a safety and a linebacker. And by the way, that was the only linebacker that you like really played. So you've got to decide if you want to have more linebackers, because if you're not going to bring in a guy and just plug him in to play in Nigel Bradham's spot, you're talking about maybe two linebackers. The only place that you're really set is on the defensive line. On defense. Now, you got a lot of cap space and you got a lot of draft picks this year. But with Nigel Bradham being released, the one thing that I thought, I know that we just said there's no way that he would have been around in 2020 to make $8 million to play linebacker for the Eagles of all positions on all teams. But with so much else to do on the shopping list, I thought that there was a chance that he might survive, especially considering the way that the Eagles really do value compensatory draft picks, letting him play out his contract and then sign somewhere else. That didn't end up happening. So he had 3 years remaining on the 5-year deal he signed back in 2018. There you go. Credit Howie Roseman on this, because we've been talking about whether he's going to follow through on what he said he's going to do and cut down on the nostalgia and cut down on the reward contracts and all that other kind of stuff, which, by the way, is just an absolutely terrible way to build a team. And you're kind of seeing the fruits of that the last couple of years. But if this is one, there you go. This is one that Nigel Bradham, you know, he's a guy who won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, has been a good player for the Eagles, a Jim Schwartz favorite, etc., right? And yet here he is getting released because it's a dollars and cents issue. Kudos to Howie Roseman if indeed this is a sign of things to come, that the nostalgia factor and the thank you for your service factor is not going to be the way that contracts are doled out anymore at this point. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. You can also reach out on Twitter at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. When I saw that, I thought, okay, they have a little bit more cap space to do more things in the defensive backfield. I don't know what it is. I don't think that linebacker, to go back to the mid-90s, with all due respect to Jeremiah Trotter, it hasn't been a like premier position that the Eagles have gone to or addressed or spent resources on. And so now, at this point, Nigel Bradham, who, by the way, was open to the idea of a pay cut in January, you know, he's moving on. I don't know how pivotal it's going to be or how crucial it's going to be for the Eagles to look at replacing him. Was never a Pro Bowler, was consistent, was fine, I would say. But now they've got T.J. Edwards and Nate Gary and Alex Singleton and Duke Riley under contract. They're going to try to find a way to make that happen. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. You can also reach out on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. Talking sign stealing, obviously talking about the Eagles moving on from Nigel Bradham, their middle linebacker. And probably, I mean, it's either him or Malcolm Jenkins, but I would assume just because he has more years in it, I might give it to Bradham. The guy who knows the Jim Schwartz defense the best, or at least knew the Jim Schwartz defense the best of everybody who was on the field. Let's go to Stein in Elkins Park to lead things off on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good evening, Stein.
What's going on, baby?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. Good. Fly or die. We're one again. Let's go.
Were you at the game?
Yes, I was.
All right. So where were you sitting, and what was going on while you were watching? When did you know it was over?
Pretty much after Hayes lost it off of Elvis, whatever his last name's back, to go up 1-0.
Yep.
You just felt it was over. I wouldn't say it's like a playoff game, but it was an important game. It was a big game.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that's a team you're battling for wild card position. Now you're out of the wild card spot. You feel good about it moving forward? Do you think that they're turning the corner?
Yes, I want this city to start giving this team some respect. I'm a season ticket holder. Like, this team's for real. You know, this team is for real.
Well,
are they going to win the cup? I don't know. But they are a legit contender. It's time. This is it. Let's give them some respect.
Stein, thanks, man. Appreciate it. And here's what I'll say. You know, year one of Alain Vigneault, the proof's in the pudding, man. Alain Vigneault, year one as a head coach, is a very, very good head coach. And record-wise, what's happened with the Flyers is lining up perfectly with that. Now, the Flyers have obviously, and pretty well-documented, dealt with some injuries. Obviously, the one that's hanging over the entire season is Oscar Lindblom and his situation, hoping that he gets better in a hurry. But at this point, hockey, the farthest thing from our minds is it's related to him. But you have Travis Konecny miss time. You've got a ton of defenders missing time. It's with the Flyers, the fact that they've been able to kind of survive the stretch that they have has been really impressive. And they do. They deserve a lot of credit. They deserve a ton of credit for the way that the things have played out so far this year with them. And I'll say this, by the way, just talking to people, and I know that it's not always that sports talk radio callers are like a perfect cross-section of the Philadelphia sports fan base, but I think it's a pretty decent representation. Flyers are getting a lot more respect this year than they have in years past. Whether that's up to the standards of, you know, people who are season ticket holders or where hockey's the number one sport or whoever, you know, I'm sure that there's still some work to be done there. But the other thing is that, you know, step one is an important step. And Alain Vigneault appears to have won over a lot of casual, you know, hockey fans in the city. Had him paying attention to the Flyers again here. Mike and Delran's next on the Fanatic. Hey, Mike.
Yo, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
Hey, I just heard the last caller, and I'm, I don't think anybody disrespects the Flyers ever. It's just the sport that the majority of the city likes the least. I mean, if I'm a kid, any day I can go outside and grab a couple friends and play baseball, football, or basketball.
Sure.
I don't need anything with my hands and feet. I don't know how to roller skate or ice skate. So I don't go out and play hockey like that. I played street hockey when I was a kid. But it's not, just because the majority of the city doesn't talk about the Flyers doesn't mean they get disrespect.
Well, do you think that there's a perception, Mike, that like the Flyers can only get so far, or they're not one of the top level teams? Because I was thinking that maybe that's what he was talking about.
No, I don't think so. I think he, a lot of other people that get mad, like I guess it was a week or two ago on this station, there was a couple segments where they were talking about how guys didn't want people to root for the Flyers because they weren't on the bandwagon early. Listen, I mean, if you don't want me to root for Flyers, fine, I won't, but hockey's my fourth out of the four sports. And unfortunately, Flyers fans, I'm sorry, unless you're a diehard hockey fan, that's just the way it is.
I agree with you, Mike, 100%.
So I just want, like, him and everybody else to know, we don't disrespect the Flyers. We just don't talk about them because probably, A, we probably don't know enough about them to feel like we should talk about them, and B, it's hockey, but I'm sorry. I wish them well, but they'll never be the Flyers or the Sixers, the Phillies, the Eagles. That's just the way it works.
Mike, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. I think that there are definitely people who, even if hockey's not their number one sport, they would rank it ahead of one of the others. Like, I bet that there are people that would like the Flyers more. Eagles are probably number one for most of the city. And then I would say that there are probably some people who would even like the Flyers more than the Sixers, or would like the Flyers more than the Phillies. But it is a rare minority, I would say. So now when, you know, I don't know if it's disrespect either, but I mean, I do understand, you know, the underlying message, right? And it's a lot of people who do follow hockey are just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop when it comes to the Flyers and just waiting for, whatever, some kind of collapse, some kind of mistake, some kind of injury sometimes, or a slump, or whatever it is that kind of keeps the Flyers from taking that next step. It doesn't seem like this is the team where that's going to happen. They don't have the most talent in the league. But it doesn't seem like they are going to be a team that loses because, you know, they messed up whatever it is from a coaching perspective, timeout management, scouting, game plan, effort, intensity from the team. Like, this group doesn't feel like that. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. You can also reach out on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. Okay, so there are two names that have been attached to pro basketball teams recently. One of them doesn't look like he's going anywhere, and one gone as quickly as he arrived. We'll get to that, and we'll hash that out on the other side here, because in the League of Drama, there's always news. 610-632-0975, your phone number, top of board the conversation. This is the Joe Torti Show. We'll take more of your phone calls next. We'll read more of your tweets next, so keep those coming as well. We'll get them in a matter of moments here. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. There are two names that people always bring up whenever the Fire Brett Brown crowd gets into their full, like, lather. Mark Jackson's always the first one. And Jay Wright is, like, without fail, the second one. Everybody wants Jay Wright to be the head coach of the Sixers if Brett Brown is fired. However, I've said it for a long time. I believe that Jay Wright could be a good coach in the NBA. And I believe that he might eventually coach in the NBA. However, it has to be for the right job, the absolute right job. For the record, just based on the way that the Sixers are set up, I don't think the Sixers are the right job. I think anytime you got, you know, players who can just go right around the coach and head straight to partying with the owner courtside and stuff like that, and Michael Rubin, and or one of the owners, I guess, it's not a very healthy situation. The comparison that I always draw is that it drives me up a wall when I tell one of my kids no and they go to my parents for something. Happens without fail all the time. They've learned this way too young. Similar situation with Brett Brown. It's hard for me to paint Brett Brown as like a disciplinarian head coach when that kind of hijinks are possible, right? I don't think the Sixers are the right job. If the Sixers are not the right job, there is absolutely no way that the New York Knicks are the right job. SNY reports that Jay Wright would need to be overwhelmed by the opportunity to even consider leaving Villanova for another job. He's not going to the Knicks. He's not going to the Sixers. This is coming from Dana O'Neill from The Athletic. Source told me Jay Wright's not going anywhere. Not to the Knicks, not to the Sixers, not to Oz. His house is for sale. He's not. Okay. No way with the New York Knicks. Tom Thibodeau apparently can taste the job and would very much like to take it on. Good luck. I don't know. Anybody who's psyched about the New York Knicks job, there you go. Another job that's full-on garbage is the Cleveland Cavaliers job. And this John Beilein situation has finally come to a merciful end, as it's clear that nobody, neither one, neither side, had any interest in this relationship continuing, whether it's Beilein or the Cleveland Cavaliers. And they did, in fact, part ways. He will officially be leaving tomorrow. The Cavs are 14-40. Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson are trying to be bailing out. It's not good. Dan Gilbert is just very, very difficult to please when it comes to GMs, when it comes to coaches, that sort of thing. No Cavs coach has lasted more than three full seasons since LeBron James left in free agency in 2010, including Ty Lue, who won a championship for them in 2016. Now, you can say that LeBron coached that team. I don't agree. But there you go. You got Cleveland in the coaching market again. I think Bickerstaff, J.B. Bickerstaff, is going to be taking the reins for the moment. But there you go. Two coaches. One on the move. Beilein. One not going anywhere. Jay Wright. 610-632-0975. Your phone number to join the conversation. Reach out on Twitter as well, at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. But for now, we turn our attention to Jay in Southwest on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Jay.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
All right.
Good.
Hey, just wanted to touch on the Flyers point.
Yes.
We're a big city, man, and we like stars. And bringing in a new system, you know, you didn't know what to expect, really. Nobody did, I don't think. And now the system is working, and they're playing better. So now you get behind them. But to think that, you know, the novice fan was just going to get behind a team, you know, like that, you know, that wasn't going to happen. But, you know, the city certainly will get behind them, the better they play, you know. So I was surprised that we were this good this early with a new system and a new coach too, though.
Are they winning you over, Jay, or are you kind of like waiting for things to like fall apart?
No, two things. First of all, man, it's hard. Man, we have an ex-Yankees skipper as our Phillies manager,
right,
and an ex-Rangers coach as our Phillies manager. So, you know, you gotta give them some time, man. We're not just cheering for them from the gate, man. They gotta show us something. They gotta prove their worth because they came from the enemy. So that's part of it too, I think, man.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because Jay, from everything I've seen, I don't know what the reception is with you and your friends and the people that you talk to about sports, but I've gotten the impression that the Girardi hire in particular has been something that a lot of people were really excited about, and they wanted Girardi the first time around when they hired Gabe Kapler.
Exactly, and we've seen Joe make mistakes. Look, if Joe, there are a couple of World Series that were left on the table with the roster that he had over there.
Sure.
So coming here, I mean, what's he going to do the first year? I mean, what's he going to do the first year, man?
Well, I've got to say, for me, he's in a really good spot. Because my expectations are, like, impossibly low relative to last year where everybody was fired up about him because they signed Bryce Harper.
Yeah, exactly.
He's in a good spot.
But we have stars. Look at that. You said Bryce Harper.
Yes.
You know, the Eagles, before Carson got hurt the first time, he's looking like an MVP. Say what you want about Ben and Joe, but they can be marketed as superstars.
Sure.
The Flyers don't have that guy. You know, a lot of good players. And scrappy and guys that if you pay attention, you'll love. Konechny, love him. JVR, love him. But, you know, you really got to pay attention to him and watch him, you know, on a night and basis. They don't just have that guy that, you know, every game, you know, you expect Ben or JoJo to do something. You expect Bryce to do something. You expect Fletcher Cox, Carson Wentz to do something. Is there one guy on the Flyers that you know every night? Even if he don't score, man, he's going to be a great player on the ice.
Right. Well, Jay, I hear you. Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Now, and like you said, it is a different definition, right? Because you can watch it and think that Sean Couturier is going to be doing a lights-out job at what he does on a night-in, night-out basis, right? Claude Giroux still performs at a high level, even if he's not scoring goals at near the clip that he needs to be. But I was talking about this with Josh Rabick yesterday, fellow hockey guy at the station. For, like, the casual sports fan, and I mean the person who, like, literally doesn't watch any hockey games and just has, like, a vague awareness of the sport, you tell them to name hockey players, they're probably going Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, and like Wayne Gretzky. Like that's probably as far like as the hockey knowledge goes for somebody who is not dialed into the league or watches games on a regular basis and stuff like that. So I think that there is a challenge where how many New Orleans Pelicans games have you actually watched? But you turn on ESPN and Zion Williamson is everywhere. Like, you talk about the star marketing, it is at another level for that sport. Derek Jeter and A-Rod and everybody else in Major League Baseball. Certainly Chase Utley and Ryan Howard here. You knew what was going on with those guys, even if you didn't watch every single Phillies game. Ben and Joel, obviously at the All-Star game, but they make headlines around here all the time as well. So I think that the not necessarily the skill level or the talent determines like that star power, but sometimes it's a marketing thing. Sometimes it's a reception Q rating, how many people recognize your name kind of situation. And that is where the Flyers, I would say, lag behind. In addition to, I agree with a caller earlier, said it's just a tough game to pick up and play. Like, as somebody, and not even from a skill perspective, but from, like, an equipment perspective. Like, cost is prohibitive relative to if you want to play soccer. Like, what's that cost you? Like, if you don't buy, like, expensive soccer cleats, if you just get shoes and a ball, you're all in for under $30. Like, you're looking at hockey, and my wife's like, hey, what if our kids want to play hockey? I'm like, oh, God, please no. Like the early ice time or the super late ice time. If you're a goalie, you're talking about thousands of dollars of equipment. Yeah, I get it. It's different from, you know, playing stick ball or tape ball or whatever with your friends in the street. Can't play pickup as easily as you'd be able to find a pickup basketball game. I get it. There are challenges. It's an awesome sport, though. For people who give it a chance. Pretty awesome sport. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Reach out on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. By the way, you talk about talent from Claude Giroux on the Voracek goal. Now, by the way, the Blue Jackets were totally toast at this point, but Giroux setting up the whole play from his knees, I mean, just pretty ridiculous. There is just an outrageous level of talent somewhere on this team, whether it's in the center with Claude Giroux and when he's taking draws, but Sean Couturier and everything else, they've got wingers who are exciting, who can score, Travis Konechny. But you're right, like, you have to pay attention to these guys and to the team at a higher level than you do just like casually picking up, oh yeah, I guess Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are doing stuff, or oh, I guess that the Phillies signed Bryce Harper or whatever. Like, it's easier to be, I guess, unintentionally aware of pretty much all of the other sports. And obviously in football season, you can't go anywhere without knowing what's going on with Carson Wentz. You got babies getting thrown out of buildings and dudes catching them and saying, unlike Aguilar. I mean, like, people just understand what's going on with the other teams much better than they do with the Flyers. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a shame because, like I said, I love hockey. It's the only sport that I still play with any kind of like regularity. So, I mean, if you're looking for someone who wants the sport to succeed and become a lot more mainstream, you're talking to them. But I do recognize the challenges that are in front, especially in this city. 610-632-0975. Brian, we're going to get to you first. It is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Dylan McKinnon producing this evening as we hang out together until midnight. Flyers with a big win over the Columbus Blue Jackets, 5-1, moved to third place in the Metropolitan Division. Making moves. Them and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Capitals kind of sliding a little bit. But, you know, things are coming along. Got to walk before you can run sometimes. And to be fair, the Flyers have been impressive this season beyond, like, what people are normally expected them to do at this point, right? There's still some room. There's still some headroom for this team to go up. Their trajectory is heading in the right direction. Obviously, their place in the standings is pretty good right now as well. 6-3-1 in their last 10. Capitals are 4-6-0 in their last 10. 5-4-1 for the Islanders. And then Columbus, 3-3-4. Carolina, 6-3-1. Like, there's some teams playing good hockey. But they're in pretty good shape. Flyers overall, at this point in the season, through 60 games, 22 to go, they're in all right shape. Let's go to Brian in Harleysville next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's up? Long time listener, first time caller.
Oh, welcome.
Love the show, love what you do.
Thank you.
Have a couple of points to make. First, out of the gate, the reason I like listening to 97.5 over, like, middle school, high school, college.
Awesome.
And I agree with you about the issue of financial when it comes to ice hockey. I was a goalie. My dad hated me.
Me too.
Oh, he hated me. Pads were ridiculous. I mean, not even like the blocker and the glove, just the leg pads alone.
Yeah, you got the leg pads. Plus, the mask wasn't cheap if you were playing at any kind of high level. Like, it gets crazy.
It was ridiculous. I broke my first ever mask the first game. Took a slap shot right off the front of the mask. Broke.
Oh, jeez.
But it was a mess. Anyways, moving on to the Flyers. They are in a good spot, and you're right. I believe Jay made the point about the whole New York coaches thing.
Yes.
Was I a huge fan of the AV hire? Really. I never liked AV, mostly because he was the Rangers coach, but I love what he did in Vancouver when they went on that cup run with Lou and Ned. I believe he was a rookie. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't a huge fan, but he proved himself. I believe the argument before he was hired, as far as I found in hockey circles, was that he wasn't good at producing young talent at a high level. I believe we could lay that one to rest. I referenced Joel Farabee, Nick Abe-Kubel. Where did he come from? Hello, on the forecheck.
Right.
And Connor Bunneman absolutely played ridiculous tonight. By the way, I was at the game.
Oh, you were? Okay.
And yeah. So, lifetime Flyers fan. But the thing about it is not that the Flyers get disrespected in the city. It's that I guess I can kind of agree with Jay where we don't have the guy that's constantly talked about in media. Like, the Sixers have Joe, and they have Ben. The Eagles have this, I don't know, this kind of guy that plays quarterback named Carson. I don't know who he is. And then they also have, with the Phillies, they have Bryce, obviously. And even guys like JT, and now we signed Didi. We signed these huge names.
Sure.
And
yep.
The Flyers, they have G and Coots, who are both absolutely domination in the faceoff dot and everything. But, I mean, if you're not following hockey, like you said, at a regular rate, who do you know on the team?
Right. I mean, and so, you probably know Giroux, who probably, to this point, is like their third best player, or their third best forward at this point, you know?
Well, I mean, it was ridiculous tonight. The thing is like, I am a huge Flyers fan ever since I was born. Like, I follow them religiously, and even I, myself, did not know that G was on the brink of breaking the power play assist record for the franchise.
Sure, yeah.
Which he then broke tonight over Bobby Clark. I didn't even know that. And that's a ridiculous thing to not know about the star player on your team, your captain, for the past 10 years, which is ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. I am, Brian, I'm with you. Thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate you calling in. You're right. Now, that kind of thing, there's no way that it would slide or fly under the radar in any way with any of the other teams, right? Like, if you know, a player on the Phillies were coming up on, like, no one's been here long enough, but just if someone was coming up on the extra base hits record or a scoring record for the Sixers or, you know, anything, there's no way that it would go under the radar. But, you know, Claude Giroux, point producer, and that's all that he's done since, like, 2010. We have to find out from a couple of people covering the team who knew that the milestone was coming up. You know, you're going on Twitter and finding from you know, John Clark or Bill Meltzer or one of these guys, that he's going to break the power play assist record. Now, it's a very specific record. You know, that's not to say that any record that you're taking from Bob Clark is a small record, but it's not goals, it's not assists, you know, overall for the franchise. It is kind of a niche thing. But we would know with some of these other teams. 610-632-0975, your phone number. Join the conversation. You can also reach out on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. People are doing that with mixed success, but I'm enjoying it so far. By the way, I wanted to introduce this to the general population because I saw people talking about this on Twitter, and it infuriated me. Right, the left turn on a highway or any kind of busy road is the dumbest thing for traffic in history.
I agree.
And the people who, like, brag about making these left turns will inevitably just crush the idea of the jug handle. And I want to talk to you about something real quick. This might surprise some of you. I don't live in Pennsylvania. I live in South Jersey. However, I've spent plenty of time, believe it or not, over on this side of the river. And I can say with total clarity and decisiveness, jug handles are amazing for traffic management. If you don't like, and this is my direct tweet from 12 hours ago. If you don't like jug handles, I don't get you. Like, I don't understand how you work. You probably also don't like circles, and circles are the only thing better than jug handles because there's no light and everyone keeps moving. Like, they're, you can go, did you know in a circle, you can go any one of like six directions and you don't even stop? You just like keep going, and if you miss your turn, it's no big deal. You just stay in the circle. You just keep going. The circle and the jug handle are by far, like, besides maybe like pavement, the best advances in traveling, driving highway technology that have ever existed. And if you just have a disdain for New Jersey, I got to tell you something. The shore's awesome and it's not yours. And also, jug handles are amazing, amazing creations that you need to embrace. I know the D-Train was a fan on Twitter. I got some support on Twitter. Nobody pushed back on me so far. Which, for everybody who just destroys the jug handle all the time, I'm surprised. Where are you? What is? I want to hear one good argument against the jug handle. I just want to hear one. And we'll address it. You won't be shamed. You can have this conversation. What's up, Dylan?
Well, I always see PA drivers like driving on a New Jersey highway. Then they try to make that left turn when they don't know the jug handle is coming, yeah. And it just ruins everything.
That's right. Well, and they are publicly shamed. You get the beep. No one will let them through, as you should not. Because the whole reason that the jug handle exists is to stop this kind of selfishness and back up.
New Jersey has pork roll, too, so that's also a win for New Jersey.
That is a big Jersey win. Take it easy. We don't get many of those. 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torti Show. 11 o'clock hours coming your way next on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.